Hello friends, it's Monday, it's already Monday again. It's time for another episode of the soon-to-be award-winning Kings of Anglia podcast, coming to you from the IO Radio Bunker on Norwich Road in Ipswich. Apologies in advance for any sniffing, coughing, general kind of sounds of illness you'll hear, because half of the team are sickly, they've got the sniffles. The other half of the team desperately do not want to get the sniffles. Ross, for once, is not one of the ones with the sniffles. I can confirm that's the case, is it, Ross?
Yes.
Superb.
By the end of this podcast, I will probably...
You will probably be prostrate on the floor.
Yep.
Anyway, the boys who are sick travelled together to Coventry, or rather Birmingham yesterday. Don't know if that's a link. Kissing in the back of the car.
Yep.
As usual. The voice you just heard, of course, the man we like to call Hutch Hogan.
The struggle is real today. Sniffly. I'm struggling with Saturday, Tuesday. It's not doing good.
It's getting a bit tedious now, isn't it, all these?
You pick up little knocks and sniffles and things.
You got a sore one?
Yes. I did have a sore one. I've got over the sore one and now I'm just not fully fit.
Yeah. But you're still giving your all. You're still playing.
Oh, I'll play through it. I just want to play. So I'll play through. I'll play through this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not 100%.
That's what makes you a warrior. Hashtag pray for Hutch. His partner in crime. Sporting a beanie over the top of his headphones, which is an interesting look. Some would say demented. He's the guy who should be able to cure himself, because, of course, he's the doctor. Stuart Watson. Removed beanie.
That's kind of a bit hot.
Demented.
Yeah, it was a strange look.
The demented doctor.
Oh, that's a film.
Coming soon to cinemas near you. Stewie, you're... one of the other people who's got the sniffles.
Yes.
Who's got it worse?
Hutchie now. I had it worse.
Yeah.
I'm coming out the other side of it. And I've now infected Hutch.
Your partner in crime. Is it linked to the fact you both have young children who, from my very limited knowledge of children, they tend to be germ factories?
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Possibly. Superb.
Can't rule it out. Mustn't rule it out.
But you're fighting through as well, Stu.
Yeah, because I'm a bloody hero.
You are, aren't you? Hashtag warrior.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah.
Some of them wear beanies over their headphones.
I was in a bad way for the Wickham game. I missed a bit of training in between Wickham and Coventry. That's why neither of us were present at the press conference on Friday. But we battled through. We pass ourselves fit because we're old school.
I didn't realise you weren't at the press on Friday. Obviously I was off. So What were we banned? What was going on?
Yeah, let's go with that. We were banned.
We were banned.
One game banned?
Yeah.
Is it really that you were both a bit sick?
No. Stu was sick, but worked from home like a hero. And about half an hour before the presser, which I was going to go to, my daughter was sick. So I had to go and pick her up from nursery.
Oh, dear, oh dear. Dear, oh dear. Sorry, Roscoe. We're chatting amongst ourselves. I forgot completely that you were here. Obviously, you're doing the ones and twos. Should introduce you, really, shouldn't I? Roscoe... for once not ill, best producer on planet Earth, survivor of a lightning strike, etc., filling your own space. Producer Ross.
Mother of dragons.
Yeah. Wearer of beards.
Well, I like dragon films.
Do you?
Yeah, I watched that.
Like what?
Rain on Fire.
Rain on Fire?
Yeah.
What's Rain on Fire?
Jared Butler.
Jared Butler!
Oh, I forgot the other guy's name. The other lead guy. It's a good film. Dragons.
It's a good film.
Like How to Train Your Dragon?
No, it's like basically dragons take over...
Is it
the world,
fighty dragons?
Yeah, can be.
I watched Dragon Ball Z.
Not really.
I watched the film over the weekend, The Irishman, which is the.
Oh, is that good?
It's 3 hours long, isn't it?
It's 3.5 hours long. Let's go.
That is too long.
You start with enthusiasm because it's a classic Scorsese kind of mafia. The whole crew's back together. You've got De Niro. You've got Pesci. You've got Harvey. You've got your man Harvey Keitel. You've got Pacino. You think this is going to be tremendous? And for the first hour and a half or so, it is. And then you realise you've still got another 2 hours to go, and it starts to get a little bit wearing. It's
well,
kind of
how's the face ageing stuff?
Not convincing. I mean, obviously they make De Niro look a lot younger, but at a time I believe he's meant to look 24, he still walks like a 76-year-old man.
Okay. That's a difficult amount of age to lose.
It is, isn't it?
50 years.
For a man who is 76. And there's a scene in it where he gives a shopkeeper a good kicking for daring to push his daughter. And in that, let's just say you can tell that he's a man of advanced years. He's not moving like a sprightly youth you'd expect. You'd have to watch it for yourself, but 3.5 hours for me is too long for anything.
Did you watch that in one hit?
We kind of paused, and that's when it also kicks in, because you pause and you realise we've still got another... We're not even halfway through this yet.
Is that how people feel about these podcasts?
Stu sticking the knife in his own podcast again.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I hope not, because generally speaking, ours is probably an hour and a half max. So, I don't know. Irishman, if you've watched it, let me know what you think. I know a lot of people will say it's brilliant because it's Scorsese. For me, it was fair to mediocre, I'd say. It could have lost an hour comfortably out of it.
Too long, baby.
But then you love The Wolf of Wall Street, and that's like 14 hours long, so...
Is it that long? 14?
Something like that, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, obviously, 3 hours is about right, maybe, for a film, I don't know, but 3.5, for me, too long. Anyway, boys, let's talk about football. Actually, before we go on to that, live pod... Week on Saturday, boys. Squeaky bum time. We need to meet to discuss the final plan today. But I'd just like to say that basically the idea was going to be that it is essentially like a live version of this show, but with the audience there, invited and paid, you're going to be able to take part. So all the usual segments will be there. Obviously, the strike will be there. First time that's ever going to be done live, and possibly the last. That is going to be amazing. There's going to be lots of other stuff that we normally do on the show. There's going to be Brad from Glory Days Artwork, who will bring along his vast collection of stuff that you can buy, bring some cash along for that. You may have seen it on Twitter. He does excellent kind of old school pictures and stuff. There'll be coasters. There'll be actually I'm picking up a pod exclusive bit of kit later on, which you'll also be able to buy on the evening. £30, bring that along.
It may or may not be a thing.
It may or may not be a thing. So, as I say, a week on Saturday, how are we feeling about that?
Fine.
I'm looking forward to it. No, it's going to be superb. I just really, really hope that Town beat Bristol Rovers on that Saturday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be a struggle. Not a struggle, but annoying. Agreed?
Yeah. It's going to be great, whatever happens in the football.
Yes, that's the line, Stu. Good stuff. Now then, let's talk about the football. Yesterday, you were in Coventry, which looked a lot like Birmingham. You were one of the few people there by looking at the reports. What was it, 3,000 people there? And how many of those were Town fans?
600.
Bloody hell. Coventry, come on. So that must have been a strange atmosphere to begin with.
Very eerie.
Yeah, because that's a big stadium, isn't it?
30,000.
Yeah.
They had a little pocket of Town fans and a smattering of Coventry fans.
And it looked, of course, as if Town were going to win, go through, everything would be nice and cushy, but then we thought, no, we're going to need another midweek game. So inevitably it was 1-1 in the final throes of the game. So their replay now is, what, next Tuesday? Week on Tuesday?
Yep.
Amazing. Hutch, you're actually off for that one?
Possibly.
Potentially?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So 1-1, draw, another replay. Your thoughts, please.
I want to just say, ugh, again.
Ugh.
I'm feeling quite ugh after Ipswich games at the moment. That noise may or may not be connected to illness, sniffles, struggle being real.
The mucus in the back of your throat.
But yeah, it was okay. It didn't create an awful lot. One shot on target, scored it, 100% conversion rate, so that's good. But you just need to make more chances, don't you? You've got to make more chances to expect to win games.
What did we make of the selection of the team?
I was okay with that. I was fine with that when it came out before the game.
Yeah. Given they've got, I know we've kind of spoken a lot about the first FA Cup game and it being 11 changes. It was 6 this time. Thought that was reasonable, given that they've the schedule that they're in the middle of at the moment and some of the knocks that they're dealing with. Kept the back four the same, or 4 of the back 5 stayed the same. And then, you know, Downs comes back into it, who clearly is a first team player. And then you're talking about people like Judge, Republic of Ireland international, Will Keane, who's obviously got some pedigree about him. Danny Rose played quite a lot of games this season. You couldn't label that a reserve team, that's for sure.
That felt like the proper kind of rotation, almost. Like if you are rotating rather than swapping, that felt like the kind of thing you maybe should be doing. I think you always feel a bit wary with Ipswich when they play one up front, because they're not so good at connecting with that man, Will Keane in this instance. But they did okay. They connected with him, but that didn't turn into chances. It didn't turn into men getting beyond him and causing trouble that way. And that's why they had one shot on target.
It's a decent goal, though, isn't it? Well worked.
Yeah,
nice.
Really nice.
Really good goal. Interception by Rowan. Midfield, Judge with a nice little drop of the shoulder to beat his man, pulls it back. Will King doing what all good strikers do, makes his run across the near post, goal.
Hmm.
But you couldn't think of too many other incidents like that in the game where Ipswich created stuff from open play. Second half, I can't think of any. As Andy says, it was the only shot on target of the game. First half, Downs put one past the post from a very similar move where they worked the ball wide and had a low cut back. Not a lot beyond that. A couple of set pieces that didn't quite connect. Some long range efforts.
Yeah, nothing for the goalkeeper to overly worry about.
You're now talking about one shot on target across 180 minutes because they didn't have a shot on target against Wickham. I was listening back to our last podcast on the way in and we were talking after the Blackpool game about how they didn't, despite scoring two goals, they didn't really look too joined up in their play and didn't create enough chances in that game. So that's becoming a little bit of a theme now. And we've talked about the lack of striker options and that's becoming an increasing concern with a lowercase c at the moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of it boils down to I think we maybe need to look at this selection rotation as being part of that. How can they get any kind of flow, any kind of rhythm, any kind of pattern? Stu said before on this podcast about what kind of goals do Ipswich Town score? And I don't know what the answer is to that.
Are they a direct side? Are they a possession side? We've asked these questions loads of times. And Mark Robbins came in, the Coventry manager, afterwards and said he was really surprised by the way Ipswich played. He was expecting them to be more direct and they played it was very much a possession game. They dominated possession. I keep saying on Saturday, it was on Sunday, yesterday. But with no real end product to it. They kept the ball lovely because Nolan's a very comfortable footballer. He can recycle possession. Dizel can handle the ball. Downs has got lots of energy in there, but I don't know if it all joins up nicely. Are all the central midfielders too similar? Will Keane is not an out-and-out striker. For me, I'd like to see him in that number 10 role. He's got a lovely touch. He's got good link-up play. But I think he'd be better deeper. So I think he's out of his best position. Alan Judge is out of his best position on the right. This rotation has a feel of just kind of chucking a load of players out there and hoping that they kind of knit it all together. And as you say, the partnerships aren't developing. There's no rhythm. There's no identity emerging. And we're now approaching the halfway stage of the season.
I've been saying for a while that there's a point where it has to stop. And I think we've reached it. This is a cup game. This is slightly different. And yeah, there hasn't been a proper run of league games, but in general, I think it's time. It's time now to find a team, find a pattern, and build something. It feels to me like that's what needs to happen now.
Okay. Anyone impressed just briefly from yesterday? We established last week we're in the denascence period. He wasn't too good yesterday though.
Even Renaissance artists such as Da Vinci,
yeah,
Michelangelo,
yeah,
Master Splinter,
yeah,
sometimes produce less than perfect works of art. Like Da Vinci didn't just do the big hits.
You trying to work out what he did there, were you?
Not just the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones.
There were some underground.
What are the big ones?
All of the big ones.
Yeah,
that's
my favourite too.
Last Supper.
The ceiling stuff as well.
Yeah, well, that's interior design. That's a different strand of his business. But
wasn't him, was it?
What, the
ceiling? That was Michelangelo, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
You've mugged yourself right off there. Actually, unbelievable.
I think you find it was Stu that did the ceiling stuff. My point is, he didn't have the best of games. But
okay, excellent.
But he's still a Renaissance artist.
Yeah.
And he's number one. That'll be his shirt. I can't imagine he certainly wasn't bad enough to relinquish that shirt in my mind.
Who was man of the match?
I think Will Norris. mm-hmm. the goalkeeper, yeah. and we keep talking about this rotation, and it's the goalkeepers are involved in that. Holy saves a penalty, dropped. Norris saves a penalty, dropped. It was Norris back in... That was the other way around. Norris back in goal on Sunday, and I thought he was really good. Just everything he did was just very solid and assured. Yes, he pulled off a top draw save at the end, which he thought had got them through. Claws won out the top corner, but prior to that, he claimed everything in the air.
You don't have to be 6'9", do you, necessarily, no. to win balls in the air?
No, and just safe hands with, you know, shots that came down his throat, but potentially could have been ones that were spilled or whatever. I just thought he was solid. Thought he was good.
For the purpose of dotting the I's and crossing the T's, let's just flash back to Wickham, of course, which is another game that's happened since we last recorded. Very brief thoughts on that game. Controversial, obviously. Holy saved the penalty to rescue the point at the end. Refereeing issues, I think it's fair to say, without getting too carried away. But as we sit here with the benefit of a few days' perspective, how do you reflect on that Wickham point?
Refereeing issues. he got some big things wrong, but after seeing the game at the weekend, I'm more concerned about the lack of chances that Ipswich made. Mm. So, yes, they scored a perfectly good goal, and that changes the game. It does. Mm-hmm. It really does, and you can't get beyond that. But you would also hope that Ipswich could have responded to that after it was chalked off and create something, break Wickham down, find a way to win with the players that they had on the pitch, and they didn't. And yes, the refereeing was poor, but I think the bigger issue is Ipswich not making chances now. With a few days on, yes, it was annoying, but I think you need to look a bit closer to home than the referee.
Mm. Referees won't be the reason Ipswich do or don't go up this season, ultimately. And I understand why emotions were so raw and high on the night, and I like the fact that Portman Road was this sort of cauldron of hate, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah.
And,
that's what we want, isn't it? Just
cauldron of hate.
Hatred.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It felt like a proper football atmosphere, do you know what I mean? And for all the frustrations that we're talking about at the moment, we've had a 2-2 four-goal thriller against Blackpool. Then we've had, despite it being a 0-0, you came away having felt like you'd been at a piece of theatre on Tuesday night. We're getting late goals, we're getting some drama. So if we're now sitting here sort of saying we'd like them to be doing a little bit better and creating more chances, yes, we want more. But overall, it's a far more enjoyable experience going to watch Ipswich Town at this moment in time.
Yeah. Roscoe, you've been silent thus far. What did you make of it yesterday? First of all, shout out your driver, of course, which is now standard.
So it was Zoe and Helen. So Zoe was the driver, but Helen was the one who put it all together.
She was the fixer?
Yeah, basically, okay. The organiser of the trip. So
good journeys?
Yeah, good.
How would you rate the driving, being a non-driver yourself?
Good. Got there. I had to get a train to Cambridge from Ipswich in the morning, and then they picked me up at Cambridge Station, and then we went to Coventry, Birmingham, yeah. And then same back, so yeah.
And what did you make of the game from your pitch side position?
It wasn't great, really. As Stu said, when Norris made that save, I thought, we've done this now, we're through to the third round, and then I actually decided to move, so maybe it's my fault, maybe, that we conceded, because I decided to move, because I thought, oh, we're winning 1-0, I want to get in a better position to be with the fans and stuff, and the players coming over. And by the time I've got up and looked round, the country's player has put the ball in the net, and I'm like, oh, great.
Okay.
Great. Replay. Another game.
I don't think it was your fault.
No.
No. No. I think it's the fourth official's fault. Yeah, Stuart Taylor was not happy with him. I don't know if you noticed when Rowe was getting replaced from Edwards, he put up 18 for Judge, and of course Judge must have straight away went, oh, for God's sake, again, I'm getting taken off. But of course, it was the wrong number. So of course, Stuart Taylor straight away went over to the fourth official and went, what are you fucking doing? You know, so yeah, he was not happy. And it could have maybe changed Judge's, you know, mindset, because of course, he's just getting taken off. So straight away, he's like, oh, whatever. But it's me just...
There you go, a little insight from pitch side there.
Yeah.
You may have heard Stewie coughing up his lung.
You're sorry.
Right there. And also, Hutchie just tucking into like a pint of orange juice. Get the vitamin C in. Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Before we move on, obviously, there's lots of other stuff to talk about. We will, at various points throughout the show, in between the nonsense, we'll talk about football. One other thing that happened last week, KVY, the Jelly Man, Big Daddy Kane, injury blow. Roscoe, I'm filling here while you play it. There you go.
Too late.
So KVY, he's out for 3 months, basically. He's had surgery. How big of a blow is this? Obviously, we've already talked about the denascence. He's going to be your starting right back for the sort of foreseeable. But losing KVY with everything he brings to the team, how gutted are we about that?
Massively, because he's... I can't remember a signing having as exciting an impact for Ipswich in a long, long time. You know, he was... We've been searching for years for the solution to the right back problem. We were proclaiming that we'd found it, and now he's out for months.
It changes what they can do as well. Like there's a denascence going on. The Genoa is rising.
Yeah.
However, he is not a wing back.
No.
He is a right back, and that does change the outlook of that formation. Personally, I've always. Probably always will be a back four man. That's what
traditional.
That's what floats me. But yeah. I appreciate the virtues of a wing back system. But it's difficult to play that now with him out.
So what do Town do? Obviously they can't sign anyone until January. Have they got who comes in as backup for Denascence? Are we going to see our mate Barry Cotter make a return? Surely he's not going to play Gwern Edwards back there, is he again?
I don't want to see Gwern Edwards playing full-on proper right back.
Yeah,
I'm not. That's not for me.
Do they need to go out and sign someone then in January, knowing that KVY's?
Well, they're talking about him, hopefully being back before the end of the season. You know, in the new year even. Mm. So, I wouldn't be rushing to do something. I think it's a big squad. There should be enough options in house, but I don't think any of them are. Quite what Vincent Young is in terms of the dynamism and the pace, and
no.
I don't think it's any coincidence that they were creating more chances and looking more of a threat when he was in the side.
Yeah, I think you just have to accept that you no longer have that dynamic right back, and just accept it. Mm. You've got a right back now, which is Tenasian, and I think any patchwork replacement for him is just that as well, a right back. And I think you just need to go with a back four and go with it, not flip and change and switch it around. Just go with it. Go with what you've got. He's out to the end of February. Are you going to bring in... It depends how Denasian does over the next month. If Denasian has a really good month, then maybe you don't need to rush out and sign someone. If he has a really shaky month, and he's going to play a lot of games in that month, you'd imagine. If he's shaky... Maybe you look at something temporary in January. I don't know, but I think that decision is not one they'll have made just yet.
Roscoe, what are you saying? I know you're not a fan of the wing back system. You saying stick with what you got?
Yeah, I don't see Barry or Dylan Crow or whatever. I don't think
Lambert
not ready. Mm-hmm. Stick with Genoa, and as Andy said. See how he does in this month, and if he doesn't do so good, then maybe you have to look into. But then, you know, we've got KVY coming back in February, so you don't want to bring someone in for too long. But I'm pleased we're not getting Graham Ward. I know that will go on to that later, probably. But
well, we might as well talk about it now. It's part, okay. Part of the equation, obviously. Lambo saying that Grant Ward won't be coming back to the club. That was one of the options that we discussed. You wrote a piece about the pros and cons. It was mostly cons, to be fair.
There were some pros in there. But I think mainly made up of cliches.
But Grant Ward's not coming back, so how are we feeling about that before we move on to the one of the highlights of the show, MBQ?
I would say that Grant, if you're signing him to be a right back, he's a square peg with slightly rounded edges, trying to be shoved into a round hole.
We don't like that, do we?
We do not like that.
Doesn't work. Roscoe, let's do some nonsense.
Big question.
Lovely. Roscoe, pick a number.
Oh, 10, as it's 10 past 10 right now.
10. What's your favourite conspiracy theory? A man formerly of this parish, Mr. Big Chris Brammer, was a big fan of conspiracy theories. He used to regale us with them all the time. I think my favourite of his was obviously the Elvis conspiracy that he's still alive. Or was still alive. He died. I believe he's dead now, but he didn't die on the toilet eating a peanut butter sandwich, as is story of legend. because, of course, there's that famous picture of him watching his own funeral in Graceland, as Bram's told us. I enjoyed that.
He was in Home Alone as well, wasn't he?
Elvis was in Home Alone?
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
When was he in Home Alone?
A little scene when the mum is at the airport and there's John Candy.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah, he...
Was he in the band? Or was he...
No, he was just behind when she was in the queue. So
this is... I didn't realise this.
I'll show you after the pod.
Elvis was in Home Alone. Wow.
Probably look like, but yeah.
another favourite, obviously, is the moon landings were faked. They never happened. They were filmed by Roman Polanski in a film studio. My missus is a big subscriber to that. What about you, boys? Conspiracy theories. You don't strike me as conspiracy theorists, either of you. You're too sensible and logical.
On a football topical theme, yeah. It has made me laugh that people have decided that the making funny noises. The conspiracy conspiracy regarding the referees and the officials coming from Peterborough and Colchester, respectively, for the Wickham game was that, you know, they didn't want Ipswich to win because Peterborough are their League One rivals. And
that was actually a theory, was it?
Yeah, that was knocking about. I like the idea that there's some sort of shady meetings all going on behind the scenes and that people are conspiring to stop Ipswich going up. When in fact they're probably just human beings that had a really bad day at the office.
Yes, for legal reasons, we better just stress that. Yeah, there was no conspiracy. Hutchie, you're thinking very hard.
I can't think of any more conspiracy theories.
No?
Tupac's supposedly still with us, isn't he?
He isn't, though, is he?
Faked his own death. Course,
they're all dead.
Isn't there lots of hints in all the lyrics?
Yeah, this is obviously a big thing of mine, but he changed his name to Machiavelli before he died, and he'd been reading a lot of Machiavelli, the Italian writer, who one of his great things that Machiavelli espoused was faking one's own death to get back at one's enemies. So obviously there was a whole big thing about the date that he died on as well, and all that sort of stuff. It's all meant to indicate that he faked his own death and is now living somewhere happily in Cuba. I'd like to believe that, but I don't.
How was he supposed to have died again?
He got shot in a car. Well, yeah, he got shot
by the East Side lot.
Well, again, there's a whole conspiracy theory here. Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was East versus West, the hip hop war.
The hip hop war.
Are you not familiar with this?
Yeah,
you must be. This was back in the day when it was proper hip hop, my friend. West Coast versus East Coast, Biggie Smalls versus Tupac, all kicked off. Tupac got shot. The story, obviously, the narrative at the time was that it had been done by the East Coast, and then obviously when Biggie Smalls got shot a few months later, March the 7th, the narrative was there that it was the West Coast taking revenge. Suge Knight was at the centre of it. Suge Knight was in the car with Tupac when he got shot, somehow remained unscathed, whereas Tupac died. There's lots of things around Tupac's death that some would say don't add up, but there you go. I've got off on a tangent now.
Genuine question.
Yeah.
Dear teacher, East v West.
Yeah.
Is there any hip hop going on in like Colorado?
Not a lot.
Or Illinois, the middle crew. They just don't get a look in.
No, they're not. I mean, you don't get Colorado. It's not really a hotbed of hip hop. I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
Not that I'm particularly clued up on the current scene because it's all shit now. But certainly back then, it was very much East Coast versus West Coast. The West Coast was very much on top with Death Row and Suge Knight and Tupac and Snoop and all those. And then, obviously, the East Coast came back with Biggie, who many would argue is the greatest MC of all time. I would agree with that.
Do you think we should have some sort of East
beef.
Coast
well, beef? We have got
with,
beef.
I mean, is there a podcast down in the West Coast that we could have some sort of beef with?
In Yeovil?
Yeah.
On the West, over there.
Yeah. Yeah. On the West Side.
Glover's Pod.
We'll go driving over there in our lowered rimmed car.
Yeah, you've got to drive really slowly and kind of threateningly.
To Yeovil?
Yeah, to Yeovil. You can sort out the driver, mate. You've got the contacts.
Yeah.
Maybe get Helen
MC
involved.
MC Grinder is the best MC of all time.
I'd say second, actually. Just behind Biggie. Mm.
Fair.
See, they're doing a film, by the way.
Yeah, that'll be average.
Yeah.
But everyone will quite enjoy it.
I really hope it's decent, that. For those of you who don't know, we're talking about people just doing nothing. We've gone on a complete tangent now. Any more conspiracy theories before we... anyone take any more of a Dr. Heath's hip-hop university lessons?
I think Ross wins that one.
Ross wins what?
Home Alone answer.
Yeah. I never knew that. Genuinely, is that something you just made up, or is that something...
No, that's real.
Elvis is in Home Alone.
Yeah, well, it's a lookalike, but, you know, it could be him.
If he's not, then, is it? If it's a lookalike,
Is it a genuine conspiracy theory Elvis was in Home Alone?
Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a lookalike. Not someone they put in to go, he was looks a little bit like...
He was also in Forrest Gump, but...
Elvis was? Was he?
A lookalike was.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're all dead.
Everyone's dead. That's the line.
If they say they're dead, they're dead.
As we exit this segment, they're all dead. That's the takeaway.
It's actually like Voice did a like investigation on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're just having a little
this
look.
Isn't good idea.
For those of you, for those of you listening,
well, that guy with the beard.
Yeah, but of course he's you know Elvis has got a bit older and he's got a bit fatter. He was really fat when he was that when he died.
And he just so happened to rock up in Home Alone.
Yeah,
there we go. All right, that's the end of Mark's big question. Let's get back to the football. Boys, we've already talked a little bit about rotation, but I wanted to talk more about the keepers particularly. Stewie is looking at his microphone like it might be... What?
Carry on.
Suspiciously looking at his microphone. Has it got the? Has it got that odour on it? Is that what you're looking at it?
I'm not doing anything. Carry on.
Fair play. I want to talk more about the keepers, boys, because obviously we talked 6'9" keeper Holy made a save last week, which is very important. And then he got dropped. And you spoke to him after the game. Basically, he said that, obviously, he would say that both of them fully support each other. He revealed that they don't actually know who's going to play until literally a few minutes before the game when the team comes out. So they can't go into a game knowing they're going to play. I build up to it in the week. What do we think about that? Is that a sensible approach? It's obviously working because they're both playing.
Yeah, it works when you've got two really good goalkeepers, I think. And they have. Mm. Again, it's not... I'm not a football manager, but it's not how I would do it. I want a number one. But I guess when you feel like you have two number ones, you have to do something. What is it they say in American football? If you've got two quarterbacks, you haven't really got one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that translates to this in the slightest.
That doesn't really make sense either.
But there you go.
There you go. Mentioned American football, good. 49ers lost last night.
Yep.
Gutted. Absolutely gutted.
You can't argue with it because they're both performing, as we've discussed earlier. But
is there a better one? Who would you pick if you had to pick a number one? Is there a clear cut?
I think they've both been very much equal.
Yeah, they really have, and I think this is Mick always used to say that, didn't he, about Bart and Gherkin? But I maybe didn't see Gherkin's better years here, but it always to me looked like Bart was the better goalkeeper out of those two. These two. They're different dimensions, but they really do feel equal.
Hmm. And that it's harsh on Holy because he's come in, he's been part of this record-chasing clean sheet run, and he's been really good, but they're fearful that Wolves will recall Holy, use him or lose him. There's a recall clause in January. They've got themselves a very good player there. And as Lambert says, that they don't really want to be scrambling to go and get somebody else if he gets whipped away from them in January. So I think they're trying to use him enough to prevent that happening, but also keep Holy happy and reward him for his performances. So it's a tricky one. It's working, so you can't really knock it at the moment.
Plain speaking, Roscoe, who would you pick?
Both save penalties, aren't they?
You can't pick both.
Oh.
Two goalkeepers. That's
that would be a tactic.
That's bold.
Has that ever been... You know,
I'm not sure it's legal.
I don't know. Is it,
Holy up front, target man. We need a target man. Yeah.
In the David James role.
Oh, no.
Put him on. Poor Will Keane. Will Keane sat on the bench and on goes Thomas Holy ahead of him to try and score.
Probably better.
Who are you picking, though?
Holy. Yeah, I think he's our player. I know you said a few about Norris getting recalled, but he's our player. And he was in that part of that clean sheet run. And I'll keep Holy.
I know you said earlier, Hutchie, rotation-wise, you're not a big fan of it, but it's going to be even more important now, isn't it, with all these ridiculous amount of games that are piling up. They play Wednesday at Peterborough in the Elf Trophy. They're back at Coventry at the weekend in the league, and they've got Coventry again next Tuesday, and obviously they roll into the Bristol game, which will be overshadowed probably by the live pod that day. But it's mental, isn't it, the amount of games that are stacking up now.
It is, but I think there's a difference between there's rotation and then there's making five, it feels like, four or five changes every week. Mm. And some of that's down to the constant cup interludes, which we've got again at the moment. But there's nothing wrong with dipping players in and out, one here and there, changing your striker for games, making changes. But the rotation in conjunction with also changing the system quite readily. I feel like I say this every time we record this, but there feels like a time where it needs to stop if they're ever going to find a rhythm.
I still think rhythm, momentum, they're all words that we keep using, and it's not just the changes in personnel, it's the changes in system as well. They've used 4-4-2, they've used wing-backs, they keep swapping between different systems. They're having the international games being called off has also added to the stop-start rhythm of it as well. So I think there's various layers that have kind of conspired against Ipswich being able to build any kind of rhythm or momentum. But they're still second in the table, they've still got games in hand, they are still in the hat for the FA Cup with all of that happening. So do we look at that as a positive, as a good thing?
Well, they're not, of course it is, but if it kind of carries on as it, they need to get better. We know that, don't we? We know that there's more to come from them. It's not even that they need to get better. It's that we know that they're capable of more, and it is, are there reasons why they're held back a little bit? Maybe. I see the theory in the rotation. I really do, and Danasian is a really good example of it. But there's a time where when it needs to stop. You can't do that all the way through till May, otherwise there's no point.
When the fun stops.
How are we doing, boys? The ill quarter of the room.
Sorry,
the ill
is half. That really audible?
I think it probably will probably. Be.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how you're doing, because obviously we established you're not very well. Are you flagging? Are you picking up? What's the what's the mood? You're right, Hutchie?
Better than
you're
when
wrapping
I started.
You're wrapping your scarf tighter around your neck.
It came undone.
Is that to kind of protect the throat there?
Yeah. The moneymaker.
Can I just interject, Ross? There's been a message on your screen saying low disk space.
It's not my screen.
For quite some time.
This is not my equipment.
We don't worry about that. As long as it's recording.
Yes, it's recording. I'm pressing X on this.
It is your screen, though.
It is, but it's not.
Speaking of rhythm and flow and all that sort of stuff, I just want to, again, a peek behind the curtain. Before we started rolling, as the term goes, recording, man to my left, Mr. Hutchie Hogan, revealed that he has both in abundance when he freestyled a verse of Lose Yourself by Eminem just before we kicked off to get everyone in the mood. Is that something you do often? Or?
No.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was superb.
There was a question that I don't think we got round to on Mailbag last week about if there was a film made about our life, what it would be called and who would be the lead. And just to take that question now, if that's okay, I probably would call the film IP1.
Right.
And Eminem would play me.
Yeah.
Because...
Similarities.
Just similarities in the way that just rap battles.
Yeah.
Most nights around flaming oil cans. It's just the way that it was in IP1.
So. Okay. I'd like to see that, actually. Coming soon, hopefully, to a cinema near you. The story of Hutch.
How I got here today.
I imagine a lot of youths would congregate outside Cineworld and have a tear-up afterwards as well.
Big time.
Roscoe, speaking of big time, it's the highlight of the show, the highlight of indeed any radio show. It's time for the strike.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike. Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Woo! Yes, thank you. Settle down.
Love you, man.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Settle down. So, out of nowhere, I have somehow got a pointless Ross fact of the week.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was
somehow.
It just happened. Today is Chris Kwamia's 50th birthday, so I thought I'll go through his career. And in 1997, while at Arsenal, went out on loan to Malaysian side Selangor FA.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the fact.
He scored 7 goals in 12 games for them.
Ah.
In the Malaysian league. Super League, they
good
call
fact.
It.
Good fact, I didn't know that either.
Know that either.
Nicknamed the Red Giants.
Oh!
Yeah. They play in 80,000 capacity stadium, Jesus!
Wow.
How's our Iranian friends getting on.
I checked on them. They actually won a cup game.
Yes, get in.
And they're going to Wembley as well.
Yeah.
They could do. So, yeah, they won 7-6 on penalties against Novad Iermar.
Tough game.
That's my man. They're my Iranian side.
Yeah.
Novad Iermar.
Yeah, round of 16, they beat him in the Hasafi Cup. So,
get in.
Well, I hope we have a cup run this year.
Hopefully. Anyways, who am I? Nope. Guess who? Guess who? Well, I always keep writing down, who am I? So this is linked between Ipswich and Coventry as we're playing them.
Because they play them 14 times forever. In a row.
Yeah, basically.
Always Coventry.
Yeah. So clue one. He played 85 games, scoring 5 goals for Ipswich between 2013 to 2016.
I think I've got it.
Ooh. Go for it.
Is it Frank Noble?
No.
How many goals did he score?
5. 95 games.
That is a Noble hit rate, to be fair.
That is the Noble strike rate.
Yeah. More than that, actually. I'm being unfair on Frank.
Yeah.
Are you?
Probably
unfair. Probably did just score 5, probably.
I'm out.
Okay, he's out.
Sit down.
Nope. No one else going to go for it?
Not now, no. Okay. Sue's made a disgrace of himself.
I thought you'll get it on the next one you watch.
Okay. You may do. Clue 2. He started his career at Brentford and joined town from Reading.
I've got it. J-Tab.
It is. Tabby. Tabby Alonso. That was a horrible nickname. I don't know why. Oh, and the final clue, just in case you didn't get that. I don't know if he's playing rugby now. Is he still playing rugby?
Yeah.
And he also trained as a jockey, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right
there
size.
There you go.
They also called him the tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that?
Don't know. You'd have to ask those that...
called him a tripod.
Gave him that moniker.
It's just an extra fact. That Stu was thrown in there.
That's what I thought when I did JTAL. I thought, there's plenty of facts we can bring out. How was he to interview? Did you ever interview
him?
Yeah.
I never met him.
Oh. Same height.
He was in. I'm taller than Jay. He was in exile when I tipped up.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, 20.
He spent a lot of time getting paid just to do not a lot, didn't he, at town? He was on quite a sweet little deal with McCarthy.
Talented musician as well.
Yes.
Right?
Golfer. Understand. And a golfer. Scratch golfer, isn't he?
Played pianist.
A what?
Pianist.
Ah, okay. Thought we were talking about a tripod again.
Anyways, tell flashback. 40 years ago, before we're all alive.
Pre-Hutchie, this is amazing. Yeah. We have a chance.
It's pre-everybody, wasn't it?
Yeah,
pretty much. In the room.
Yeah, and probably. Yeah.
No, yeah, well.
What year was it?
79.
Okay, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but Town beat Man City 4-0 at Portman Road.
Get in.
Thanks to a hat-trick by who? Eric Gates, Paul Mariner, or Alan Brazil?
I'm going to say Mariner.
Okay.
I'm going to say Brazil.
Okay.
I'm going to say Brazil as well.
It's actually Gates.
Oh.
Boo. So, 1981. Oh.
You didn't need to stop.
I stopped because what festival that? Yeah, 1981, Town beat Bradford 3-2 in the League Cup, third round replay. Replays in the League Cup. Went on to reach the semi-finals that year, but lost to who? And that person, or team, person.
They lost to a person? Wow.
Team went on to win it in the end. Arsenal, Spurs, or Liverpool?
What season, sorry?
1981.
81 League Cup
semi. Oh, yeah, they reached the semi, they did.
Liverpool.
Okay.
Arsenal,
Liverpool, or
Spurs.
I'll say Spurs.
Liverpool.
Yes, get in. Come on.
I'm 1.
I can win this.
It's because you were around for it.
Absolutely, yeah, I was 1.
Cormier again. Happy birthday, mate.
Happy birthday, mate.
Have a good one. I know his nephew. Listening. I know his nephew. There you go.
There you go.
But yeah, he scored the only goal as Town won 1-0 at Southampton in 1993. Mm-hmm. How many goals did he score that season? Now, I'm not going to do any options, just whoever gets closest.
Okay, because this is normally where you go 11, 12 or 13 or something like that.
Rethink.
How many goals did he score that season? I'm going to say he scored...
So this is second...
What?
Second Premier League season that Town were in.
So I'm going to say he scored 8 goals that season.
Okay.
11 goals.
Okay.
9.
5. You only scored 5.
Only scored 5.
Yeah. 6 in all competitions.
I can win this. I'll love it if I win this now.
Yes. 2, 1, 0. And basically, it's the last question.
Come on.
Town beat Leeds 4-1 at Portman Road in 2014.
Oh, here so we go. Back into weather. Hutch's era.
This isn't my era.
But who scored the fourth goal? Christoph Berra, Darren Murphy, or David McGoldrick?
Who's it against? Leeds.
Leeds 4-1.
Oh, that's a good win.
Good win. That was a really good win.
2014.
Good win.
Playoff win.
Hutch, you go on. You go first.
No, because I know your little tactic here.
Stewie?
I don't actually remember.
Oh. Someone scored a brace in this game.
McGoldrick.
Okay.
What are the options for McGoldrick, Murphy, and
Berra?
Berra. I'm gonna say Murphy.
Okay.
I'm gonna say McGoldrick.
It was Berra.
Yes.
And there he is.
There he is.
Well done, mate.
Little face.
I'm delighted. Guns. What does that make the score now?
Hutch is still winning.
I know he's still winning, but what?
Surely
it's important.
You're keeping the score.
I have to go back.
I think it's like 4-2-1.
4-2-1. Yeah.
Does it matter?
It does matter, Stu.
There's been loads of friendlies and times and exhibitions.
I'm saying it's 4-2-1 in the matches that count.
Okay.
A strike is the winner.
The strike is the winner. Listeners are the winner.
I've got a little bit of an outro now.
Here we go.
I thought this on the train home, and I was actually listening to Eminem on train home, so it picked up a little bit.
Go on then.
Wait, no, you gotta wait for it. You gotta wait for the build up. The STRIKE. The strike. That's it.
That's
like
the outro.
I like that.
That was that.
It's better than just the end, which was
the
last
end.
Week. There we go. Superb.
Thanks, Ross.
That was good. I hope you enjoyed that.
I really did. I really enjoyed that.
Because I, for once, triumphed. Boys, before we move on to mailbag, let's talk about a bit more football. Late substitutions, which is something that gets brought up quite a lot in our Angry Game Day videos, filmed by young Roscoe over there. People saying that when Town aren't doing so well, or they need to change the game, they're frustrated, shall we say, about how long the Honey Badger leaves things before changing them. Is this a frustration that you share?
Sometimes, yeah, definitely. It's easy to moan about it when you're sat up in the stand watching.
Mm.
Maybe a little harder to do when you've spent all week preparing for something, preparing a group of players for something. You've got a plan. You're also thinking about other games that are coming up and keeping people fresh and things like that. But leaving the Lincoln game in the FA Cup at home, and was it the Wickham game on last Tuesday night? Bringing players on in the 86th minute when you look at the bench and they look like they're your game changers, and you need to change the game. It feels a bit late, but there's a lot more that goes into it than just chucking people on the hour mark. But it does feel frustrating.
Yeah, he juggles things around on the pitch. He's making tactical tweaks quite early in games. At half time, he'll move players into different positions or tweak formation, but the actual personnel changes aren't coming till post 85 minutes. In some cases, Blackpool, Judge and King came on 84-85, looking at it. Wickham, Rowan Edwards came on 82, Keane 88. And then at the weekend, Jackson came on 82 as well. So I know that frustrates players, because you just feel like you've got no time to make any kind of impact in the game, really. I think another 5-10 minutes really gives people a chance to get into matches.
Managers are funny, aren't they? Because different managers have different kind of set points where they start considering those kind of changes, and it varies manager by manager. It is interesting.
But in summation, late subs, not good.
Enjoying that sweet?
I'm just chewing, my friend.
That's
quite
banging.
I'm going to bring him down.
I'm masticating.
Oh, I brought you down because...
Yeah. Sport that.
Sorry. Say again.
It's gone now.
Okay.
It's gone to mailbag.
Mailbag. It's time for Chewy, Mark, Andy, Ross and Sue to dip into the mailbag.
First point of order, Stuart Watson, you took it upon yourself to pull the mailbag.
First point of order, give the jingle the room to breathe that it deserves. How long have we been doing this for now?
Apologies. I'd like to apologize.
Allow time and space for the bongs to breathe.
Important.
Do it again.
Well, the whole thing?
Mailbag, mailbag, da-da-da-da-da. Pause.
Mailbag, mailbag. It's time for Chewy, Mark, Andy, Ross and Stu to dip into the mailbag. Boop, boop.
Thank you.
Are you happy with that?
Yes.
Can you now explain why you took it upon yourself to put out the mailbag appeal this morning?
I wasn't aware that it was that big a deal.
Okay, fine.
I woke up, I thought, there's been occasions where none of us have remembered and then we've put it out there
that's,
at like
that's
9
never
o'clock.
Happened on my watch, my friend.
Okay.
10 to 8, Monday morning, that's when the mailbag appeal goes out, when I'm having my second cup of coffee. I had time to think about it, but no, take it on yourself.
I will never have the temerity to do that ever again.
Good. Consider yourself told. Harvey Davis, friend of the show.
Number three.
He says he's currently on the way to Manchester Airport, heading to Berlin Christmas markets. Safe travels, Harvey. He wants to know favourite city break and why.
He's probably on the plane now, isn't he?
Probably is, he's yeah. Probably I hope he's having a safe journey.
So do I.
Your favourite city break, Hutcher? You've travelled.
Oh, I've travelled, boy. Probably Hull. Of a weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not particularly nice this time of year, Hull.
Yeah. The Humber. The estuary.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But seriously, what is your favourite city break? Come on.
My favourite city break, I would say, is Copenhagen.
Oh, okay. Copenhagen. I didn't think you were going to go there. I thought you were going to go Reykjavik.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a city break because there's more. If you go to Reykjavik's lovely, but you want to venture significantly away from the city for that particular trip.
Copenhagen then, Hutchie. Roscoe?
Or Berlin. Harvey's made a very, very good choice.
I've never been to Berlin. I've always found
you should.
It.
It's really good.
Yeah. Roscoe, you look cold.
Because I'm thinking another place that I'd like going is Luzern in Switzerland.
Oh.
So I've been there about 3 times.
Have you?
Skiing and snowboarding. Not very good. Not really good at all.
You on skis or a snowboard seemed like a recipe for disaster.
It was.
I can't imagine that. It was.
But they do like a sort of festival there. So we go there on a Thursday until like the Monday.
Who's we?
One of my friends who's actually from Luzern.
Oh.
So he, one year he decided, oh, do you fancy coming with me? And I was like, sure, why not? And so we did some snowboarding and some skiing and they had like a sort of music festival there and people dress up in those different costumes and stuff, so it was good fun.
Snowboarding, a lot harder than it looks, would be my experience.
Yeah, I didn't do good.
But you didn't break anything?
No.
Remarkable.
Success. Good.
Yes.
Stuart Watson, you've also travelled extensively and are a man of well-read
Fleetwood.
And... No, come on.
All over.
Yeah, we've done the whole thing now. Yeah. Where's your favourite city break?
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edinburgh. Good.
There's lots of good cities, aren't there?
Rome.
Amsterdam. Rotterdam.
Amsterdam.
Rotterdam, underrated.
Amsterdam.
With a knowing look. I would too probably say Amsterdam. I really enjoyed Venice when we went the other day. I really like Bruges. That's a really nice place.
It's in Belgium.
Huh?
Bruges is in Belgium.
It is in Belgium. Correct. Important clarification point.
Have you seen the film In Bruges?
Yes. That's what made us want to go to Bruges.
Then you should find that reference hilarious.
Have you been to Bruges?
No.
Oh,
Filming Midgets.
Yeah. It's a good film. It made us want to go.
Meppen as well. Good old Meppen.
Yeah, Meppen.
Happy times in Meppen.
Yeah. Really good. Connie's Farmhouse.
Yeah.
Thoroughly recommended.
Yeah. And what was the other guy's name?
Jürgen in Bielefeld.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I preferred that.
The boy, in case you don't know, the boys you're talking about, they're now legendary pre-season trip to Germany this season. Good times were had by all, and no one was arrested, which was amazing.
I'm not rushing back to Meppen until next year's Interetten Cup.
Yeah.
Harry Butcher, friend of the show, number 7. He says one shot on goal in the last 2 games is concerning, isn't it? We've already talked about that, Harry, but appreciate your input.
Friend of the show.
There you go. Nice. Andy Evers says, no questions this week, but I'll be listening in from Manila. And he sends us a picture of Manila in the Philippines.
Be a thriller and a chiller.
Yes.
And a killer.
A chinchilla.
I won't complete the quote.
No, because it's
not particularly PC.
No, but I'm impressed that you know it, Stu. And you've gone up, have 100 points from me.
Thank you.
Just for that. Nigel G,
end of the show.
Elvis lives and he's in the studio right now.
Has that jingle been taken away from me now?
No.
No.
Nigel G, the man with the big fish, says, with another replay, we'll hashtag Honey Badger emojis. Regret not playing matches when scheduled and fixtures less busy. Will players be at more risk of injury playing lots of games close together? And do Stu and Andy get paid more if there are more fixtures? Yeah, this is bad for you, actually, because in terms of kind of efficiency and such, you're doing more work for the same amount of money, so...
Our hourly rate is pathetic.
It really is. It really is.
I would sob if I ever worked that
out. Don't do it, mate. Don't do it. So what are we saying? Will Lambo live to regret kind of piling up all these fixtures?
I was outspoken on this from the start. I thought they should have played the games. If you look, I think this is the best example. So what was the rearranged game that they played recently?
Wickham.
They postponed that Wickham game because they had no Downs. They had no Dizel, no Georgiou, no Judge, whoever else. Basically, all the players that weren't available for it first time didn't end up playing a single minute of it the second time it came around. So that, for me, sort of backs up. Just they should have just played these games. They're now guaranteed to have 16 midweek games this season, we've worked out. Almost certainly that will go up. There's every chance that a game or two falls foul of the weather, that you're now going to these smaller grounds that don't have the same facilities in terms of undersoil heating, etc. Chuck a few more Elf Trophy games potentially into the mix, maybe even the playoffs at the end of the season. It's going to be a busy old schedule.
Is Elf Trophy a thing?
I like it, yeah.
Good.
But you're the arbiter of things. You tend to just dictate anything you've come up with is a thing.
Not really how it goes, but I don't think Elf Trophy's a thing yet.
Not yet. Not until someone starts using it on social media.
Yeah,
that's the key. Ollie wants to know, who would you like in the third round draw and why? Obviously, when Town inevitably beat Coventry in the replay next Tuesday, the draws tonight. Who would we like? Obviously, we want Liverpool away, don't we?
Birmingham away, please.
Stewie, I really hope this happens for you this year because you've been covering Town for what, almost a decade now? Almost a decade. And every year we talk about how nice it would be for Town to draw Everton away in the FA Cup. This could be the year, could it not? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's my club. Your boyhood club, yeah. So, I'd love to go to Goodison.
Could it also be the year that they draw them and then lose the replay to Coventry?
That would be cool indeed.
Part of me thinks that they'll end up just with another League One club.
Mm.
Because this seems to be the year that they're going to play everybody loads of times. They're going to play Gillingham three times. They're going to play Coventry four times. They're going to play Peterborough three times, at least. So they'll probably just end up getting another one of those sort of clubs.
So we need a Peterborough Gillingham.
That'd be Peak Ipswich.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's what we want.
What I really want is Tottenham away.
At the sexy new stadium.
Yeah, yes, please.
That'd be good.
Best stadium on earth, apparently. Jack Todd, following on from stronger squad yesterday, should PL, then he uses the honey badger emojis, good work, Jack, be using these games to try some different partnerships, i.e. Downs and Dizel, Houston Downs, Keenan, Norse, / Jackson?
I'd like to see Will Keane given a go with a partner. He hasn't really done that, has he?
No.
At any juncture. I'd like to see that.
Chris Thorogood says, what's your Town team of the decade? He said, I'm going 4-3-3, Bielkowski, David Wright, Chambers, Mings, Cresswell, Skuse, Norris, Sears, McGoldrick, Tom Lawrence, Daryl Murphy. Didn't want to use a loan, but I'm struggling. What a poor decade overall. I don't want to chance that now, because at some point we are going to actually do this best of decade stuff.
Is he putting Mings at centre-back?
Yeah, sounds like it.
But
yeah,
he didn't play centre-back.
Yeah, I've got an issue with that. I don't think you can pick a team of the decade and play players that out of position. I know Mings has gone on to play sort of in a back three and centre back, but you've got to pick them on what they did for Ipswich during that decade, I think.
Okay.
I spent all of the journey home from Birmingham yesterday compiling a big spreadsheet of appearances this decade. In preparation for writing this piece. It's still a work in progress, but I think Ipswich have used over 200 players in 10 years.
Wow.
And that's a very hit and a hit and a miss list. Yeah, I tell you.
We would do a not team of the decade as well, like the worst team of the decade.
Two things. It would be far easier to put together your flops of the decade than it is your team of the decade. The left back debate is about the only position of real quality that you're going, oh, Cresswell or Mings, that's a really hard one to pick. The rest of it, I mean, it's hard because you're really struggling. I think you'd have Berra in there. I think Berra's definitely got to be in there. Bart's your goalkeeper. Is Chambers your right back? I think he probably has to be with Tommy Smith in there at centre back.
Who's the right back in that?
David Wright.
David Wright played. Yeah, he left at the end of the 09-10 season.
Yeah,
so
his best work came before this. I'm afraid. Ineligible.
I mean, he did. Technically, he played at the back end of 2010, but
you have to. But you have to take those games. Are those not what came before? For the team of the decade, surely.
Just to repeat then, Chris's teams: Bielkowski, David Wright, Chambers, Mings at centre-back, Cresswell, Skuse, Norris, Sears, McGoldrick, Tom Lawrence and Daryl Murphy. So let us know what your team of the decade
McGoldrick and Murphy have to be in there. I think Skuse, for his longevity, has to be in there and his service over the course. And then you are really going to have to put a lone player in there. You're going to have to put... I'd be tempted to put someone like a Ryan Fraser in there, or a Tom Lawrence, as he says. And that's kind of worrying, that you're putting a lone player into your team of the decade.
TBD, conversation to be had, piece to be written, lots to be said about over the coming month as we build up to the end of the decade.
Possibly too much.
Never too much. FPL Tractor, any transfer mutterings, guessing more likely to be outs than in, then he adds, hashtag sexy stuff, hashtag don't look at that hashtag. It's true. So transfers, there's nothing going on, is there, boys?
Not that I know of at the moment.
No other business.
I'm sure there's plenty going on behind the scenes in terms of drawing up lists A, B, C and D for various scenarios, but that won't hot up for a couple more weeks. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought.
Brad, if you could have any UK accent besides your own, what would it be? Just imagine an angry Cotswold honey badger. What's the Cotswold accent?
Just a bit. A bit Gloucestershire-y.
Okay. My lover and all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you haven't got an accent. What are you picking?
For me?
Yeah.
I would quite like to be... Because I talk about football a lot for my employment, I think I'd be more listened to if I was a Scouser.
Yeah.
Because they are generally accepted, even when they don't have a clue what they're talking about. They sound like they do.
Because they're Scousers.
Because they're Scousers.
I would argue a Scottish accent would trump that in terms of football knowledge. Suddenly you sound like Fergie or Dalgleish or...
And you sound a bit hard as well, don't you? You've got a Scottish accent.
Well, I think I sound hard anyway.
Clearly, yeah.
So, but yeah, Scouse would be up a level.
I'd definitely take Scottish if I could pick. I'd be a Scot. Or maybe Irish, don't know. How about you?
Irish.
Yeah. Roscoe, you already have a wonderful accent, a very amusing accent, but if you could have a different accent, what would it be?
I think Irish as well.
Irish?
Yeah.
You'd suit an Irish accent, actually.
Northern Irish. It's a UK accent, isn't it? You've got to be Northern.
I might take the Steve McLaren Dutch accent.
Stop.
Arsenal.
English, but with a terrible Dutch accent.
Yeah. Champions League.
Who was it that did the that went over there and then did a was it French? Was it Joey?
Joey Barton.
Is that French? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
He tried to. Yeah, disaster. Peter Dwerryhouse, is it worrying that the hashtag Honey Badger hasn't settled on a starting 11, and is even changing his goalkeeper? It's November, and he's no closer to finding his best team or best system. Kind of already talked about this, boys. You got anything to add?
Nothing to add. I'm feeling squad rotation fatigue.
Fatigued out. Maybe we should rotate people in to cover for you.
Just dizzy with it.
Yeah. This is probably the question of the week. Very important question we've got to answer. Stephen Smith, it's December the 2nd. Is Die Hard a Christmas film? Yes, it is a Christmas film, Stephen. Not only that, it's potentially the best Christmas film.
I don't know.
Don't at me.
I don't know how you can argue that it isn't. I really don't.
I guess people would argue that murder and all that sort of stuff is not very Christmassy. But it's set at Christmas.
First and foremost, it's an action film.
Yeah.
But it's set at Christmas.
It's shown at Christmas.
It's a Christmas film. I don't understand how anyone can argue that it isn't.
I'll certainly be watching it over Christmas. Boys, we talked last week about your changing attitude to Christmas, now you're fathers. Has Christmas arrived in the Warren/Watson households? Have you got your tree up?
No tree up. It's not down from the loft, but Christmas stuff has begun.
It's begun. Excellent. Have lists been made and such?
No.
Watson?
Yes.
Trees up?
Trees up. Tree went up Saturday.
Yes.
Advent calendars are out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The build-up begins.
I bet it's really, really good, isn't it, when you've got an excitable child. I mean, that would be the best time for me to have a kid. Would be certainly as well at kind of Aya's age. What's she, three? Something mm-hmm. like that? She must be super, super excited.
Yeah. Just get one for this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You lend me Jessica.
They're available. yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We already established that Ross hates Christmas, so I won't bother asking you that.
Thanks.
Christian Davis. Stuart, I'm going to stick my neck out and suggest that we won't finish top two and we'll find it a struggle to get in the playoffs due to lack of conviction in our play. What do you guys think?
Well, we started the season, Andy and I both predicting, I think, fifth and sixth, respectively, something like that, did we? Fourth and fifth?
I think I might have said fourth.
Fourth and I said fifth. Be inclined to kind of stick with those predictions at the moment. I wouldn't be putting all of my money on automatic promotion. I'm not saying it's unlikely. I think that defensively they've got a good bedrock of a team there, but yeah, I went back through the last 10 years of League One. I looked at the league table at this time of the year and it's pretty much a flip of a coin whether Ipswich go up from the position they're in now. Some teams go on and end up finishing top and then others drop into the playoffs and then more likely falter in the playoffs. So, we shall see.
I've got to say that Stu is really underlining his credentials as a doctor in this podcast. He's got a spreadsheet of all the players who've played for Town in the last decade and he's gone through and looked at all the positions of the league tables as well to see exactly where Town might finish up. I'm going on feel, I'm going on spur of the moment, how it feels in my heart, that's the way I work. I said second, and I still stick to that. I think Town is still going to go up top two.
I'm more of a, on these kind of things, I'm more of a gut. I'm very much a gut man.
we've often said that.
Very much a gut man, and I'm not that bothered about what other teams have done in the past, that kind of historical stuff. It's interesting, but Ipswich is a unique set of circumstances for Ipswich. I still think they'll do enough by me.
Roscoe, automatic promotion, what are you saying?
Yeah, top two.
Top two.
Yep.
Gary wants to know, what purchase did you once make that, in hindsight, you now really regret making? Have you ever, like, I mean, this is probably going to be something like a kind of spur of the moment impulse purchase. You think, I've got to have that. And then you end up going, oh, actually, I didn't. It was a waste of time.
6 years worth of gym memberships to lots of different gyms.
Yeah.
Largely unused.
Yeah, because the thing with gym membership is you still have to go.
Yeah.
So
don't always manage that.
But you're halfway there. You could go if you want.
Exactly.
If you wanted to.
That's why I feel like I have to have one.
Have you still got a gym membership?
Yeah. Since I moved back here, I moved back to Ipswich in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, I've been a member of one, two, three, five gyms.
Back here?
Yeah.
Wow. What gym are you currently a member of?
The one in Cardinal Park. I don't know what it's called.
I don't even know the name of the gym that you're a member of.
It's basically the gym.
The gym. I love the fact you don't know the name of your own gym. The gym. That's the best of gyms, really. Yeah. Do you want a workout buddy, mate?
I really don't. Like, I feel quite passionately
Sasha goes to that one, so bump into Sasha.
Oh, I know. I'll do well to bump into her, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
No, I do not want a workout buddy. I feel very passionately about that. I don't like going with anybody else.
Okay, fair enough. You're a lone wolf.
I'm a lone... Yeah.
When you go?
When I go.
That's a good one. Stewie, can you beat that? You don't strike me as a man who would make any kind of impulse purchase ever.
Yeah, that's probably true. I bought a gaming chair at one stage.
I remember you telling me about this, yeah.
Just because I thought that would be a good thing. It was a time where I had a lot more time to play PlayStation and Xbox and stuff. And then I bought that and then it very quickly became... It then got moved into the nursery bedroom when I was born and that just became the chair that just kind of has clothes chucked on it and junk stored on it.
Everyone's got one of them.
I need to get rid of that.
Is it still plugged in and does it rumble?
Lost all the cables. It's useless.
How much was it?
I don't know, about 100 quid, something like that.
Wow, that's a good one as well. Roscoe, you strike me as a man who very much makes impulse purchases. What have you bought?
They normally work out good, though. I think about 2 years ago I bought a camera, because at the time when I was really getting to my photography, and I went, oh, I want that camera. So I spent like 750 quid on it. It arrived and I broke it.
You do shock me.
How quickly?
Never used it.
You just dropped it straight away?
No, so basically there's a different SD card than I'm used to. So of course I was putting it in and I was like, oh.
And you just continued to ram it in there until it was
basically
broken.
You just stuffed it in there.
Yeah.
So you broke the card and the camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how much was that?
750.
Wow.
Just straight away. Yeah. Done.
And you didn't go, I'll try and get this fixed. You just went,
yeah, I did, but then it would cost like 300 quid to fix it, so.
Okay.
So it's just, yeah.
Excellent.
There's some good answers in there. I haven't got anything that I really regret buying because I don't believe in regrets. next question, football. Dylan, will we ever see Cotter or Crowe given a chance this season? Mm-hmm. Roscoe has already said he doesn't think they should be, but what do the boys think? And is Nolan or Bishop a better player?
I think Ipswich are really missing Teddy Bishop, a player that can dribble.
A dribbling Bishop, as we established last week.
Someone that can dribble from the middle of the pitch, break the lines, move play on his own, get past somebody. I think they're really missing somebody like that in midfield.
Great question from Justin. Why does it feel like inevitability has settled over the club about the fixtures and sucking all the gags out of the room, even though we're in a good position? That's more of a statement. But the question is, more importantly, should Andy be made to try a string vest?
On what grounds?
Just, I don't know. He wants to see you in a string vest. The answer is yes, obviously.
Live pod.
Yeah, live pod. That's your outfit sorted.
No.
String vest, Hutchie. Maybe it looks, it could keep you warm. Because obviously you're not fans of...
Why would it keep me warm?
Wear it to the gym.
Why does string vest keep you warm? It's like...
I've no idea. But you're a man who famously eschews a coat. You don't enjoy a coat. You don't wear a coat.
I've started wearing one recently.
Yeah.
I think now I've reached 33. I think that's the tipping point.
I've got to say, by the way, as we're sitting here, I love the way you're wearing your scarf.
It's come on.
You look like a what's it, flight commander from the First World War.
Chocks away.
Chocks away, chaps. Go and shoot down the Hun. Yeah, good stuff. Good question.
Sorry, what's sucking the gags out of the room?
I think he means it's gone a bit not fun.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that phrase.
I've never heard it before, but I guess that's what he means. Stephen Smith back on. Forgot to say, hashtag Honey Badger. Well played, Stephen.
Is that a question?
No, it's just adding to the great question that he's already asked about Die Hard. Tom Bull. Oh, no, that's not a question. The pin has been on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's back, is he?
Does he get a build up or?
We'll see what he's had to say. You know, he's still on the friend of the show list, of course he is. Give us one, Stu.
Well, sing, I mean. Yeah.
Just be angry, right? Just
not in your state.
Just sing the song.
Friend of the show.
Possibly two.
That was a good one. The pin says, I've appealed my one show ban, only to be told I've been unsuccessful, and now I've had that suspension extended to three.
Yeah, frivolous.
So he says, see you soon, hashtag turmoil.
Fair enough.
So he's been banned for an extra three games after his ridiculous statement that Yorkshire pudding should be banned. I thought one game was very generous, to be fair.
Yeah, well, this is the third game.
Okay.
We'll
maybe see you back soon, pin. Martin, what Christmas present, would you buy for Paul Lambert and why?
A wide forward.
We're talking about a player there as opposed to...
Yeah.
Yeah, a wide forward, okay.
Yeah, and I'd also get him... I'd get him another one of those caps that he was wearing a lot in the summer, because he appears to have lost his.
We're hoping the cap toss would be a thing, weren't we?
Yeah, that's made me sad. Being
in the Ipswich Town one.
Some kind of headwear.
Yeah.
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 Stuart Watson, what are you buying the Honey
just
Badger?
Go into the Hugo Boss store and go to Absolute Town, because I think he just exclusively wears Hugo Boss.
Just black jumpers and trainers.
Black jumpers and, trainers and stuff.
You could give him a special version of the Stewie Wink and then do a little wrestle like you like to do. A little Christmas wrestle.
Is that a present?
It is.
Happy Christmas.
The Watson wink is a present whenever.
I think he's into that kind of thing at the moment. I was sitting down just on a very cold step yesterday, and he just ruffled my hair on the way past. I didn't notice him. I thought it was Brenna Woolley.
He's gently playing with your hair. You hate people touching your hair.
Yeah, I'm not really into that.
You didn't kick off, though.
I didn't kick off.
No.
You could get him.
What?
You could get him one of your finest single malt whiskeys.
Yes, that would be my answer, yeah. I assume, being a Scot, he loves whiskey. So I'd probably get him a Lagavulin, the king of single malts. Roscoe, what are you getting?
40 grand watch, I think.
You get him a 40 grand watch?
Yeah.
Which is very generous.
Yeah.
Very generous.
It's stolen, but...
just adds that.
The Big Bang, was it?
The Big Bang. The Hublot Big Bang.
That was only 10 grand, wasn't it? We established.
Oh.
So...
Yeah,
game four.
Pathetic.
King Arthur Pickthorne. Is Luke Wolfenden our best centre back?
Depends how heavily you weight potential, I would say. If in the fullness of time, he'll be the better player out of them all, I think.
Yeah. Andy Mook. Do you see the current dip that Town are in as a blip or a sign that we never had good form at all? And do you agree that we need a power surge run of winning games? So obviously they'd like to go on a winning run, but is this kind of... Can we call this a dip in form? I mean, they've not actually lost. They've obviously drawn games. They've won in the FA Cup.
I think the form, if you took results out of the equation and you just analysed performances, I think it's been much the same throughout the season.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And we keep talking about they've got another gear to go in. They've got some more... fluidity to find, and we're still talking about that now, aren't we?
Yep. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I can't remember what the question was.
Is it a sign of the fact that Town were never actually in good form? This kind of blip. Do we even consider it to be a blip?
Here's another way of looking at it. Is it possible to be in good form in League One? As in, is it possible to be really convincing winners every week at this level when you've got a target on your back and when teams are coming to defend deep and stop you and are really analysing the threats you've got? I don't know. It might be. Teams have gone up with 100 points and looked really good at this level, but where Ipswich are at the moment, I don't know if that even is feasible for them to be the team that we keep saying that they could be.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? Because it's not just Ipswich. It's they very much do have a target on their backs, it feels like. There are lots of these other external factors coming in about congestion and rotation and injuries and things like that. But fundamentally, like, they're being shot at every week. So
don't want to do that because you lose the ability to sweat and you get shot at.
Tom, it comes back though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, conveniently. I can sweat now. Tom Bull, I have an apology to say. I said it wasn't a question. I thought we were just getting involved in a thread, but he is a question, so let's have it as the final question of mailbag. Is this a sign of good players that just aren't match fit? Too many coming back from injury and always seem to not be impacting games.
It's another element that's played into all of this, that Norwood... it's the stop-start thing with that Norwood's had surgery and come back, and I know people are saying, why on earth didn't he start on Saturday when he's suspended this weekend? But if he's injured / on the verge of injury, why take the risk with him? He didn't look right against Wickham. He started off like a train, haired about his usual self 20 minutes or so, and then he faded big time. Now, having seen Vincent Young pick up an injury off the back of very similar surgery, I'm sure that was in their mind. But yeah, half-fit players has been another element that's added to this not quite there element of the season.
With Norwood specifically, this is a two-month arc now, isn't it? He's clearly not been right for the Fleetwood game. That was the start of October, wasn't it, when this kind of all began, when we found out he'd been carrying a groin injury, which goes back to his Tranmere days. So this is a... If we're talking about him just specifically for a second, this is a long arcing issue, which maybe he hasn't had the time and space to recover from because Will Keane's also been on his way back as well, and maybe he has been used when he shouldn't have been, and it's hard. It's really difficult, but It's all part of it. There's lots of little things that are feeding into this with Ipswich at the moment. It feels like. And it feels like we talk about them an awful lot.
Every club has
injuries.
That's
literally the idea.
Every club has injuries, yeah. Though, don't they? You know, Nolan missed pre-season. Edwards missed pre-season. Hughes is working his way back up to fitness. Keane is. Judge. But every week we look at the opposition and they've all got similar issues. Mm. That's the game. That's why you've got a 30-man squad that Ipswich have got. They've got a bigger squad than most to deal with all of this.
Here endeth mailbag. Boys, before we head off, get back to the office to start doing stuff for tomorrow. And obviously today online, in case the shadowy Archant figures are listening. The week ahead is another busy one. They play Coventry 17 times in the next few days. But they're playing Peterborough Wednesday in the Elf Trophy. Then they're Coventry away on Saturday and Coventry again in the FA Cup. What are we thinking? How are we feeling? Do we care about the Elf Trophy on Wednesday? Is that one that's maybe...
I do, because we don't know if Ipswich will go up this year. As I've said, I think it's almost like a toss of a coin. They may or may not go up, and that is obviously priority A, B, C, D, E, F, etc. But if it doesn't happen for them, if they were to falter, then a little bit of joy in the cup would go a long way to kind of taking the edge off of the disappointment, and then for everyone to regroup and go again next year in League One. At least we had a run to Wembley, for instance. Mm. And they've got the squad to cope with that. You look at the team that they could put out on Wednesday. They'll put Kenlock in, they'll put Nciala in, they'll put various other players in, some of the, you know, Dobra and El Mazzouni and people like that. I want them to progress on Wednesday.
I love the Elf Trophy, you know that.
And most importantly, can it go to extra time on Wednesday?
We were talking about this yesterday and we don't know the answer to that question.
Does it just go straight to penalties?
It certainly doesn't go to a replay.
Yeah, thank God. But I'm thinking deadlines here, boys. Can it go to extra time? Do we go straight to penalties?
We need to look at that.
TBD.
On FIFA, it goes straight to pens.
There you go. that's probably the answer.
There you go.
We'll just go with that.
What kind of team are you putting out if you're the Honey Badger on Wednesday? Are you going with another mostly reserve kind of team? Or are you putting Holy back in goal?
Yeah, I think Holy probably will go back in goal.
Hughes, probably. Yeah. Who else we got? You mentioned Dobra, El Mazzouni, those kind of guys.
It'll be interesting to see if Norwood plays. He's suspended at the weekend, so if they think he's okay.
Mm. That would be interesting. I'm interested to see what Peterborough do as well, because they played their two big gun strikers, Tony and Moa and Issa. At the weekend in the FA Cup. They have played in some of the trophy games as well. I'd be interested to see if their attitude to it has changed, whether they go with those two up front, because they caused Ipswich all kinds of trouble, didn't they, in the league game back in August. That's your phone.
That's Stewie's phone.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Interesting to see how whichever central defenders are picked cope with them.
Yeah, and then Coventry, obviously, back-to-back. Have you ever been, either of you, by the way, have you ever been in a situation in your lengthy career covering teams where a team has played the same team three times in four games?
I think so. I think I've done this between Swindon and Barnet. It was memorable.
Shuey?
No.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Very strange. Obviously, the one you want to win is Saturday, isn't it? Out of the two?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lambert says he wants to win every game.
Of course, yeah.
Well, it depends what the draw throws up in the FA Cup tonight, if I'm honest. From a completely selfish point of view, would I take a draw in the league if it meant getting to go to Tottenham?
Mm.
Maybe.
Mm. Think of the amount of fans they would take to a game like that.
They're taking
3,000 to some League One games at the moment.
They'd get 15% of a 70,000-seater stadium, so... And getting towards 10,000, aren't you?
Happy days. Let's do some predictions before we finish. So, Peterborough away Wednesday. Your thoughts? Score?
I think they might lose. I hope they don't. I think they might lose 2-1.
Okay.
Win on penalties.
Lose as well. Yeah.
9 out of 10 times you predict a loss, Roscoe.
Yeah.
You're the anti. Positivity.
He keeps rotating players. And,
you don't
know,
like it, do you? No, don't like it. No. And then Coventry at the weekend?
I think Coventry at the weekend is going to be a 1-0 win to Ipswich, and they are going to be desperately hanging on at the end. And this time, they will do it.
Okay.
Might be 5 minutes added. It'd be 2 6 minutes.
I think they'll win on Saturday. I didn't think Coventry were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more, nothing less. I think it will probably be a stronger team come the weekend for Ipswich. That was about as strong as Coventry can go. They only made 2 changes to their team. I'll go for an Ipswich win, narrow Ipswich win.
If he's going to play Will Keane by himself again...
He's not going to do that in the league, though, is
hopefully
he?
Hopefully not. If he does, then it will be 0-0.
You doom-monger.
But no, I think we're going to win 2-0.
Yes, I agree. I think Town are going to win every game they play. That's the way to finish it. If you have enjoyed the usual nonsense that we provide, please do hit subscribe on your various podcast providers. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can hear me over Stu coughing his lungs
with
up.
The reviews.
Yeah.
I think people should leave us reviews pretending that they're Ipswich Town players.
Okay.
Just
yeah.
Put your name on there as Junoy Dinassian.
Yeah.
Leave us a review, please.
That's a good idea.
Ipswich Town squad reviews for the show.
Yeah, because then
please.
We can read them out. We can put them on the poster as well. Tremendous.
Luke Chambers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave us your Ipswich Town squad reviews.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. So if you could do that, that'd be great. Helps us with the visibility in the charts. Roscoe, we've got to play the Archant thing.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore. For more great podcasts from Archant, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archant.
Listen to the non-league podcast. Carlos Edwards was on it.
Yes. That was a good one. He's always good value. Boys, we have to take our leave, head into the office and do stuff. Have you got any other business? Stu looks like he's half asleep.
No other business.
No other business.
Roscoe?
Ditto.
Ditto. It's a very busy week ahead for Town. Obviously, they're going to win every game. We'll speak to you next week when they've done that.